You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Kim Mundy from our international economics team. And Kim, so good to have you on today.
Thanks, Belinda. So good to be here.
And we're going to actually talk about a really interesting subject today that I think a lot of people will certainly be impacted by at the moment, and that is the loss of international tourism. So when COVID-19 hit, a lot of countries around the world closed their borders and were shut off from international tourism. Now, for countries like Australia, this is actually a really important driver of economic growth, and it is for some other countries around the world as well. And I know you've done a lot of work and looking at how the lack of international tourism is impacting particular economies. I just wanted to start, though, with kind of looking at the border closures and where we are at, particularly as a lot of people and economists and markets are starting to look at the recovery post-COVID-19. Where are we at with border closures?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the really important things to focus on at the moment, is that we are all so eager to get back to our normal lives that the focus is really moving quickly to, all right, what does life look like after coronavirus and the fact that we are returning to some sort of normalcy as restrictions are eased. But it's not going to be the same for international travel for quite some time. So we actually think border closures will remain in place for a decent amount of time and will probably be one of the last areas to have restrictions eased. And I think what's been really striking was the attempt to slow the coronavirus is the fact that every single country has implemented some form of border closure. And that's basically unheard of in the modern world. And what's even crazier, I guess for a lack of a better word, is that 75% of countries completely closed their borders. And as you mentioned, Australia was one of them, New Zealand is another one, and those are two economies that are heavily reliant on international tourism. So the economic impact from the border closures will be ongoing for quite some time.
Now, how has international tourism performed since coronavirus? Like, I know the Australian data quite well. We started to have border closures in February, and we kind of went through a number of different countries before the borders were effectively closed for non-residents in late March. And from that, we've seen quite a dramatic reduction in international arrivals. It's impacted sectors anywhere from obviously air travel, obviously arrivals into Australia have fallen dramatically. It's impacted the tourism operators quite a bit. What are you seeing in the numbers that you've looked at?
Yeah, look, I think it's pretty safe to say that from about March, international tourism has fallen off a cliff, and that's globally. So total international travel numbers plunged by nearly 60% in March. They were down by 57%. And as you mentioned, Australia's been one of those countries. So in Australia, international visitor numbers fell 60% in March. And keep in mind that that has been off the back of a pretty slow start to 2020 for Australia, with the bushfires also impacting tourism arrivals in January. And then in New Zealand, we've seen international visitors down 54% in March as well. And I think the main point to remember is that while these border closures remain in place, there will essentially be no more international visitors. So international travel will flatline until these border restrictions are eased. And that's just unheard of.
It is. And I guess for each country, their reliance on tourism is very different. So what you've done is you've looked at, for the countries that you cover, how important tourism is, and then how important, if you can, the breakup between international tourism and domestic tourism. So in Australia, there's been a very limited form of domestic tourism. Some state borders are still closed. That's impacting on the potential for domestic tourism. What countries are more impacted than others when you look at the numbers?
Yeah, so it is very interesting because, as you say, you have to first look at how important the entire tourism industry is to a country, and then you have to try and drill down to assess, all right, so how much of that is driven by international tourist arrivals. So on an aggregate basis, New Zealand is the most reliant economy of the ones that we monitor on tourism. Tourism accounts for nearly 6% of New Zealand's GDP. In contrast, tourism accounts for around 3.2% of UK GDP, slightly lower in Australia at 3.1%, and then the US rounds it out at 2.9%. But as you mentioned, when you then look at, okay, how much of that is driven by offshore visitors, New Zealand again takes the number one spot. So on our estimates, just under half of New Zealand's tourism GDP is derived from international visitors. But one of the things that was quite interesting is that actually for Australia is more reliant on international visitors than the UK is. So we estimate that international tourism accounts for just under 1% of Australian GDP compared to 0.7% in the UK. And that compares to the fact that the entire tourism industry in the UK is a slightly greater share of GDP than it is in Australia. And now finally in the US, international tourism accounted for around 0.5% of GDP. So I guess while the UK and the US are slightly less exposed to international tourists, really no country is going to be immune from the impacts of these border closures.
Now, one of the things we've been looking at quite closely in Australia is Australian tourists travel overseas and spend more than foreign tourists spend in Australia. So one thing that could actually help Australia, I guess, in the short to medium term is a redirection of those tourism dollars. So if Australians can't travel overseas, which we think is very unlikely this year, we could actually see a pickup in domestic tourism. Now, this is really a good potential source of growth for Australia, but we know some areas will benefit more so than others. So international tourists tend to spend more time in capital cities, particularly Sydney and Melbourne, whereas all of us who live in Australia tend to get out to more regional areas. So we might see
Escape the city.
Yes, that's right, to go to the bush and the beach. So we could actually see a redirection of growth in Australia based on the fact that we may not see Australians be able to travel overseas, this year. And especially if those state borders open up, we could actually see that as a really important driver of growth. Now, I just want to touch on what the outlook is from here, or kind of, I guess, will the scenarios be different based on how quickly the borders can reopen? Does that really impact your outlook for growth in these particular countries?
That is going to have a huge impact on the outlook for these industries. And, I mean, when we did this note, what we did was we took scenarios that have been published by the United Nations World Tourism Organization, which from here on out I will just refer to the WTO, but not to be confused with the World Trade Organization. So they have published three potential sort of timeframes for how long border restrictions could remain in place. So they've estimated border restrictions could remain until early July, which I know is only a few weeks away, early September or early December. And depending on which one of those scenarios, they're estimating that international tourism arrivals could fall by anywhere between 58% and 78% over 2020. And I mean, that in itself suggests that obviously the longer the border restrictions remain in place, the more of an economic impact or hit tourism industries in these countries are going to have. So, for example, we essentially, we overlaid those WTO scenarios on each country's individual data just to estimate how the tourism sector might be impacted by different sort of periods of length of border closures. For Australia, for example, if borders did remain closed until early December, we estimated that there could be 7.3 million fewer international tourists heading Australia's shores in 2020 compared to what we saw in 2019. And as a result, Australia's tourism sector could lose the equivalent of around 0.7% of Australia's GDP. So that really reiterates that the international tourism sector, or just the tourism sector in Australia, will be quite heavily impacted if border closures remain in place for most of 2020. And now, given that New Zealand has a higher reliance on international tourism, we've estimated that border closures until early December in New Zealand could see the tourism sector there lose the equivalent of 1.9% of New Zealand's GDP. But as you said, it is really important to remember that this analysis is only looking at the impact on international tourism. It's not accounting for any offset by people who've, you know, if you've booked a holiday to Bali or you were going to go to Europe, well, you're probably going to want to try and replace that with something domestically if you can. Whether or not that's enough to entirely offset the loss from international travellers remains to be seen, but it will at least help to minimise some of these impacts.
Now, one area that we probably need to touch on as well, which is in relation to these border closures, is education exports. Now, this is a growing area of importance for the Australian economy. It's actually our third largest export behind iron ore and coal. And it has been in the news a little bit more recently. So I just wanted to touch on what some of those numbers look like and how that may impact the Australian economy. So In particular, the states of New South Wales and Victoria are more heavily exposed to foreign students. They have a higher proportion when compared to the size of their economy. So we've heard anywhere between 70% to 80% of foreign students are here in Australia studying. But the issue will be, well, how can we replace them if they finish their studies? So we could see, already have seen, a fall in education-related travel services. And this is actually really linked to foreign tourism as well. So one thing we do know is when we have students here studying in Australia, it prompts family members to come and visit them in Australia as well. So there is a direct link between foreign tourism and education exports as well. So that is one area that could also impact quite heavily on the Australian economy, just given the growing importance of education exports.
Even if domestically restrictions start to ease and life does start to return a little bit more normal, there will still be a relatively large handbrake on those economies that are relying on international tourism, whether it's, as we say, just direct holidays, whether it's related to education exports, for quite some time. And we won't see a proper pickup in that activity until we start to see some of these borders being reopened.
And of course, if confidence does return to travel, then appreciate your insights today, Kim.
Thank you for having me, Belinda.
The report Kim published was on the 4th of June 2020 and can be found on combankresearch.com.au.